As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, our theme is about how God is calling us home. We have a hymn, it's titled, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. We have a Bible verse that talks about, in the cross of Christ I glory, traveling over the, all the spans of time. And many other ways we express that this is temporary. But the question is, do we really live that way? Or do we hold on as if it should be permanent? We were talking before worship about how Lutherans, but generally people, we hate change. We don't like change. But that's not really true. Because when you're 15, you can't wait till it changes to 16 to get your driver's permit. And whatever age your parents set and you wanted to date, you can't wait until you reach that age. And you can't wait to be a senior in high school when you're just starting. And when you get to college, after the first year, you can't wait till you're a senior again to finish that course. You're looking forward to change. And when you're single, there's times that our hearts yearn for marriage because we don't like being alone. We would appreciate, we would love, we would cherish that change. And when you're broke, don't you just want to have more money? So when we say we really don't like change, I think that's not true. Because when your stomach growls, don't you want to eat? There are basic changes that we do appreciate and that we cherish. But in that process of growing and maturing, and in this journey of life, there is the need for another change. And it's not about what we gather or what we accomplish, but it's about what we let go of. And it's more than just cleaning out the garage, okay, or the attic, or the spare bedroom. It's beyond that, because this is personal. This is about our walk with God. And Lent is a marvelous time, a wonderful time to take a look at the word repent. Because repenting is about letting go. Letting go of sinful thoughts and sinful behaviors and sinful ideas and wrong thinking. And instead of holding on to those things and hoarding them, we receive God's grace, His mercy, and His truth. Today is about leaving complacency behind, and it is modeled in all three lessons for this morning. For Abraham, it is modeled in the sense that he has finally been given this gift of a son. His name is Isaac. And God tests his faith. And he's asked Abraham to offer his only son as a sacrifice. You see, in those days, a sacrifice was part of the religious practice, if you will. It was involved in their walk with God. You would sacrifice, you would offer sometimes some grain, some wheat, or what you had grown. You would offer a lamb out of your flock, your fold, or a goat. And sometimes they even offered a bull or a ram. And these were gifts given to God. And for that kind of thinking, Abraham would have given the lamb and the ram and the grain. But God asked him to offer his son. Now, when you get comfortable in life and God challenges you to go that extra measure, what often is our response? Now, that's ridiculous, isn't it? How could he ask this of me? This is impossible. But Abraham, by faith, journeys out, and he's counting on God. And even when his son asked, "Where's the lamb?" And by faith, his complacency is shattered. Because God has given him this son. God provided, and God will provide again. In the second lesson for today, we find that what gets in the way of our walk with God is when our sinful nature and our sinful desires put something out as if it's in front of us, as if it's a plate of food, and we start to have passion for it, yearnings for it, and what we do is we give up God's way. We note that first occasion of that behavior in Genesis with Adam and Eve. Here they were in the garden. It was a wonderful life, a wonderful place, the perfect place. No bug bites, no nothing. Think about it, the perfect place. And along comes the devil in the form of a serpent, and he challenges them. And when Eve looks at that food, that tree in the midst of the garden, and God had said what? As a parent, you know, like, don't, you know, kind of thing. You can eat of the other stuff, but you cannot eat in that. And then the devil says, "Surely you will not die." And they look at that fruit and they say, "It's good to eat, and it's desirable to have knowledge of good and evil. It's desirable to be like God." And there, all of a sudden, walking with God was no longer what their life was going to be about. And they took of that fruit and they ate of it, and sin and death came into the world. And it has been that way ever since. And they gave up all that perfection for their own passions. In the gospel reading for this morning, Jesus is baptized. And it describes what happens after the baptism. And yes, it was the voice of the Father. "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." There's that part. But then that next verse, it says the Holy Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. It is so unlike our thinking of about baptism, because when we get baptized, we have our children baptized. What do? We go out for lunch. We have a cake. We have the family over. We don't think about going out into the wilderness. We don't think about the devil being around. We don't think about temptation. We're celebrating. And it's a good reason to celebrate in, you know, that new life in Christ. But what's happening is complacency. Jesus isn't baptized. God doesn't say, "You are my beloved son." And Jesus goes, "Okay, I'm taking the day off. I'm going to hang out with the disciples and, you know, we're going to have some fish." Instead of embracing the thinking and the ways of the world, Jesus takes head on the ways of the devil. And there's nothing complacent about his encounter with the devil. He never says to the devil, "Eh, whatever. Are you free to think what you want, but I got my own ideas." He faces him head on. And eventually he says, "Enough." And the devil is gone. Dr. Dale Meyer has an interesting definition of, do you know what the opposite of complacency is? His word is conflict. When I was reading some notes by him, conflict wasn't the first word that came to my mind when I saw the question. What's the opposite of complacency? But if you think about it, if you're going to walk with God and you're going to live in Christ and you're going to be focused on his values and his purpose for your very existence, what's going to happen? Well, two things. One, you're going to have internal conflict because your sinful nature is going to say, I mean, if you were honest, how many couldn't wait to get out of bed and come to church? You know, think about it. The alarm goes off and it's like, oh, do I have to? And in my case, Gwen says, you're preaching. You know, kind of thing. Think about it. Doesn't our flesh rear its ugly head with all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of desires, all kinds of passions, and it says, well, don't do that. That's no fun. Or that's not going to get you anywhere. And instead, it's almost as if we are in the wilderness, and this world is a wilderness, for this is the realm, in one sense, where the devil dwells, and he is around. And we encounter his thinking, his values, his propositions every day. And if it's not from outside, our own sinful nature has its fun too. Complacency can be defined as compartmentalism. It's where you try to put everything in a little box within your life and structure it so, and you try to arrange those boxes in a comfortable way. It's not that you have to be super organized, because even a person with a chaos in their house knows where stuff is, right? And so, you know, it's just in that sense, everything has sort of its pile, its place. And you don't disturb them. And the opposite of that is in the sense of this compartmentalism, and it's everything in our life from inside and out is about our relationship with God and God's relationship with us. Compartmentalism encourages people to pay their dues, that is their offering, by the way. Okay, that's your dues, and give your time. That's your Sunday morning 59 minutes. You know, in the pew, and we watch the clock, and when we're done, the rest of the day and the week is mine. And when stuff doesn't happen the way we want, our dialogue with God goes like this. God, I was in church. What more do you want from me? You know, I prayed this week. I stayed awake during most of the service. You know, it's like, because I've done something and I've compartmentalized, I've done the church thing, the God thing, the rest of my thing should be mine and it should go my way and my will. But Jesus models that's not what happens in our baptism. Our baptism is about our new life in Christ. It's not about our way in the flesh. It's about God's way. It's about God's life in us, all through him. And it is about living in this constant battle, if you will, with the desires of the flesh. Boy, I'd sure like to sleep in. Or, you know, I would sure like to flirt with that gal. Or, you know, I want my third piece of cake. Or, you know, I think I'll talk about Billy Bob at the office because he's up for a promotion and I want that position. And I know I could do a better job. And so what do? We do the God thing on a Sunday morning, not every Sunday morning, but some Sunday mornings. And then we are jealous and we slander and our heart isn't so loving. We get a little angry in traffic. We don't like it when it snows on a holiday and school's already out. You know, what kind of God is that? You know, make it snow on a Tuesday when we're in session and then we can get out. You know, and on, we rant and we rave and we complain because we're challenged and we're tormented. The opposite of complacency is conflict, the fact that we who are alive in Christ will be in conflict with this world. And the whole gospel that Jesus went out into the wilderness was to show how in Christ the things of this world and the desires of the flesh have been overcome so perfectly. And that the one who gives us his spirit is the one who has done it for us. And he gives us that strength and that energy and in a sense that gasoline, that fire within, so that we can endure the conflicts that we face in this world, in our own life, in our own heart. So that we can face the challenges with the energy and the power of God. And when we forget to turn to that energy and the power of God, we start to look for other things. And we become complacent about our walk by faith. And we become full of chocolate, alcohol, drugs, pills, medication, you know, exercise. We do all kinds of things looking for that identity, that peace, that self-worth, that value, that success, and whatever else is on our list. We're looking at it, but we're not willing to follow God. Because when the call of God comes, unfortunately, most of us struggle and we go, who? Me? In my own journey, when I was asked about going into the ministry, it was 3 years of me constantly saying to God, who? Me? How about you? What outrageous thing has God asked of you? How to serve, how to live for him, how to love, how to forgive, how to care, how to sacrifice, how to be faithful, how to give up time to be in the Word instead of being caught up on Survivor. And the Bachelorette, whew, you know, or The Voice, or because those things have meaning in this world, but they do not have meaning in heaven. And he calls us to live for him, and our life is in him. And this is a great time during the season of Lent to take a look at how have I been complacent? How have I lived compartmentally, putting God in a box, pulling him out when needed, and putting him back when I wanted to do my own thing? Our journey during this Lent will take a look at many other areas of the things that God is calling us to leave behind. And not just leave them behind any old place, but to leave them at the cross. We're from the cross. Yes, he acknowledges we're idiots. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We hold on to some of the craziest things. But yet he also says, I forgive you. And like he did with some of the miracles, go and sin no more. He calls us out of that complacency to live in this new life of him that he has given us. And that we may live in this way faithfully until he calls us home. Our eternal home. It's a challenge for our humanness. But it's not an impossible challenge. when it's fueled by Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and strengthened through faith in the one who did it for us. In Jesus' name, amen.